We've been in a series in our church. This is week four of the series through Psalm 23. We entitled this entire series, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. We've got too much good in our lives to be defeated today. Do you hear me? There's too much power that flows through Jesus' name for you to be wounded and weak today. You're a warrior. You're a conqueror. You're a part of the AOG, the army of God. You've been called to do great things, and you've been called to step out in faith and to conquer things that the world can't even believe or imagine could be conquered. Yesterday, me and my wife last night were watching a TV show, and man, my heart was just broken. You know, we're in a war in our nation, our very own nation, against each other. We see color again, and we're warring civilian against officer, and white against black, and race matters again. And people are very hurt, and people are very discouraged. And I told my wife, I said, you know what kills me? You know what hurts? Is everybody's scared. That's the problem. Everybody on both sides is terrified. One scared of the other. Now granted, you're always going to have somebody who perverts and politicizes and tries to do something. There's those that are going to an extreme. But the truth is, white or black, officer or civilian, people are scared and terrified. And the Bible said, we just read it, that the answer to that fear is perfect love. It will cast that fear out. It's embracing the one that's screaming in your face. It's forgiving the one that's broke your heart. It's deciding that you're going to do something about it. See, in the first part of this study in Psalm 23, we find, number one, we said, you've got to learn to trust God with all your needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I want. I have everything I need. It's right here. Then you got to practice God's command of rest. He makes me lie down. All right? That's awesome, man. The last time somebody made you lay down was kindergarten, probably. You know what I mean? But God says, hey, rest. Take the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Take a day and worship. Take a day and reflect. Take a day and relax. You got to have one day a week where you rejuvenate. Then last week we talked about surround yourself with beautiful things. It says, He leads me in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He strengthens me. Today, many of us are so broken and so overwhelmed because we're so news-fed or we're so driven by what's going on in the world. And can I tell you, some of you need to take like a 50-day fast and not watch the news at all. You need to step back. Some of you need to just deactivate your social media because it consumes your thought. It makes you feel like you're beautiful or not based on the likes you get or now even the heart emoji that somebody can give you. You know, we have our confidence in all the wrong things. And I'm not going to preach those sermons. They're all on our Facebook Live. You can look at them. And they're all on our Podbeam and podcast. You can listen to them. But today, step four. If you're going to live in the joy of God, if you're going to live that fruitful and productive life, if you're going to come alive, you got to go to God for guidance. It says, He leads me. He leads me. He guards me. He directs my path. We're going to look at this for a little bit. You know, one of the biggest stress factors in your life is indecision. Have you ever figured that out? If you don't understand what I'm talking about, let me give you an example. Some of you are married. Some of you have friends. Hopefully all of you have friends. And at some point in your life, you're going to have this moment if you haven't already. You're going to get in the car with someone. And you're going to be hungry. And so are they. And you're going to look at them and you're going to ask a question that sounds like this. What do you want to eat? And they are going to immediately tell you no. They're going to look at you and say, I don't know. What do you want to eat? Or where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And 30 minutes to an hour of your life is going to be wasted in that. Now, how many of you, you're laughing from experience? Anybody like that? How many of you in that moment, you just want to scream, make a decision. Choose. Because here's what normally happens. Finally, you get inspired. And you get moved by the Spirit. And you say, I want Red Lobster. And they say, no, I don't want that. Yeah, we've been there. Indecision, man. Indecisiveness. It will drive you insane. Sometimes let's just make an anthem to this. Let's write this down. This is good. Here it is. Ready? Make up your mind or you'll lose it. You get what I just said? You got to make up your mind or you will lose your mind. It'll drive you crazy to one day live like the world and the next day try to live like God and the next moment trying to live like the world. That'll drive you crazy. The Bible says nobody can serve two masters. It says a double-minded person, is unstable in everything. That means even the good things they do, it's unstable. It says a house divided will not stand. You know, I'm telling you, my heart is beating, it's pounding. I see it. The day of Jesus is drawing close. The day of His return, His kingdom. Do you feel it? Anybody else say, oh, in my heart, I see the signs. You know, there's even a secular song. I saw the sign and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. You know what? When is the church going to be able to sing that and actually mean it in worship? I saw the sign that in the end days there will be lawlessness. Anybody see that going on? That in the last days men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Anybody see that going on? Hey, God's the most illegal topic in the world. The Bible's the most illegal book in the world. You say, oh, no, it's not. Yes, it is. More countries have it banned than have it accepted. Matter of fact, we've even banned it from our schools. We banned it from anything. Yesterday, a guy came in that we just met, challenged us to carry our Bibles for 30 days everywhere we go, physically, not on our cell phones. And I took that challenge. And when I left here, I had to go to the grocery store. And I went to my office. I said, okay, God, which one? And that almost broke my heart because, man, I got options when it comes to what Bible, right? And I went and he said, grab your Celebrate Recovery Bible. And I'm like, really? That one? You know, because on the very beginning of it, it says the Bible, Celebrate Recovery, in huge words. And I'm like, I'm going to put that thing in my buggy, shopping cart to all the northerners. And I'm going to walk in there and somebody's going to think I got issues. They're going to see Celebrate Recovery and going to be like, there's a drug addict. Because they don't understand Celebrate Recovery is not just for an addict. It's for hurts and hangups. And then God said, no, maybe they'll see it and they'll talk. Maybe they'll see it and it'll open a thing. So I bid. I put my Celebrate Recovery thing. 5 minutes into the grocery store, somebody walked up and said, are you in Celebrate Recovery? And I'm like, no, not really. Next thing you know, they're pouring out hurts. We spent 5 minutes in the grocery store and I'm like, man, God, you're good. I didn't even open your word. I didn't even quote a verse of scripture and yet somebody was drawn to it. That's cool. And man, I look at it and I think in my life, man, hey, we're at a place in our society. We're at a place to where we as a church need to start making a choice. We need to decide, who is it that we serve? What is it that you actually serve in your life? Is it God? Really, is it God? Because if it is, you have no problem surrendering everything from your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your thoughts, your actions, your words, your wallet, everything to Him. Who is it we serve? What motivates us? What drives us? Because today, God's going to talk to you just like He does every single day. And the thing is it's a lot of times easier to hear Him in church because there's not all that noise of life pulling you in 1,000 directions. You made a choice to be here, right? You're sitting here and many of us, that means we wanted to acknowledge God in our lives. But can I tell you this? By sitting here and acknowledging God, it does not make you godly and it will not give you peace. It will not restore your life. You've got to make a decision to go with God wherever He goes and to do what God tells you to do. It's got to be a choice. And indecision is stressful. Matter of fact, one of the biggest stresses I carry as a pastor is the indecision of the church. It's amazing. We can make decisions like build buildings and we can make decisions about programs needed to start, but we can't make that personal decision to crave Him, to love Him, and to surrender everything to Him. And I'm praying for it and I believe I'm going to see it because if revival starts in the individual, it doesn't start in a church. All right? And God is reviving me, so it's coming. All right. If you're around me long enough, if you call me, if you come to church, when I start talking about God, I just keep going. I can't stop. Some of you, that worries you, right? You're sitting on a Sunday morning, your pastor's saying he can't stop talking about God, and you've got to go to lunch later, you know? You got something in the crock pot. The thing is, man, nothing else has moved me, radically changed me, or loved me, or given me what God has given me. Nothing else in the world has ever compared. Nothing else has looked past my mistakes. God has never once reminded me of them. But He has taken them away. He has forgiven them. And he himself chooses not to think about them. And I look at it and I'm like, okay, God, I am drawn to you. I'm in love with you. I need you. I want to date you. I want to be married to you. I want it to be, we stand and we take a vow publicly that I am a child of God. And whether you got a gun to my head saying renounce it, or whether I'm standing in freedom able to proclaim it, I am still going to say and believe and acknowledge that I am a child of God with no fear, no hesitation, no reservation, because my life, it is worthless. But through Him, I have everything for me to live. What? It's Christ, right? Paul said to die, that's gain. I've got nothing to lose. You say, well, man, what if you lose your church? I can't lose the church. You say, what do you mean? You can't lose something that's not yours. I don't own it. I don't protect it. I don't keep it. It is His. I can't lose my salvation. Why? It's not mine. It's His. He's given it to me today. And today, I cannot surrender what I do not have rights to. But in Jesus' name, He says He clothes me in His righteousness. He establishes my going. See, there's many times in my life that I've made the decision to do it my way. And those times always work out with more stress, more problems, more hurts, more pains, more loneliness. Anybody else willing to acknowledge that? You've done the same, right? But there's been times in my life that I went with God. And I knew it was God, and it was terrifying. And man, powerful things happened. And I couldn't help but step back and say, God, that had to be you, because there's no way I could have done that. God, that had to be you, because there's no way I'm smart enough to think that up. God, that had to be you. There's no way that I could use those words, come up with those illustrations. There's no way I could relate. God, you are good. Anybody else say, you know what? I can testify to that. I've had those moments too. We call them the mountaintop, don't we? We call them the moment with Jesus. You know, I think we need to get to a point in our lives. I think we need to get a point in our ministry to where we start seeking God for guidance in everything that we're doing. And you say, well, don't y'all do that? Yeah, we have a policy. And I heard Pastor Dennis when I watched Facebook Live when I was on time out of town. He told you this. We have a 30-day prayer policy in our elder group and pastor group before we make any decision. And then when we bring it to the church, we require the church on major decisions to pray 30 days before we have them. It's no accident that God worked out our new members class to cover a 30-day span. Because we want you to even pray about joining our church for 30 days before you do it. You know why? Because we want you to follow God and not us. We want to know what He says. We've been in boats where everybody was for it but one person. And because one person was against it, table it for 30 days, come back, and nobody for it and six against it. You say, why? Because God always reveals Himself. Will you write that down? God always reveals Himself. God always answers. God always leads. God always guides. He's not a part-time God. He's a full-time God. And He's on time every time. Do you understand? In James 1, verse 5, look at it real quick. We find this verse. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. I just, on Wednesday nights, we're doing a series on Get Connected. And we just spent this entire last Wednesday night, it's about an hour and 20 minutes if you want to listen to it on podcast, all right? Maybe break it up for a few days. But we used Proverbs chapter 2, the verse, the passage on wisdom and the benefits of wisdom, to prove that by being connected to God and His wisdom, there are six benefits that God will bring into your life. Six protections and promises that He will give you. Man, I'm going to tell you this. Nobody knows you like God knows you, not even yourself. And nobody knows the world like God knows the world. And we just got to make it a policy that we are going to go to God for guidance in everything. Not our friends. Not the popular opinions of the world. Not the majority in what they voted. We're going to go to God and God alone for guidance in what it is He wants us to do with our lives and in our lives, in our situations, through our situations. We go to Him. You know, you ever had that moment in your life that it's not indecision that's driving you crazy? It's the multiple choices, the opportunities. You know, you go from jobless to having four job offers at the same time. You ever have that happen? You go from being single to having three people liking you at the same time. You know, I remember when I met my wife, Jordan, I had to fly, I think it was to San Antonio to sing. Wasn't it something like that? I was out in Texas. One thing I learned about Texas, it's hot, all right? And I was out in Texas, and I was in the hotel room, and I had literally just started talking to my wife, and we were dating. And when I got there, two of my exes, people that I tried, and when I say exes, that doesn't mean we dated long term. People that I went on dates with, that I wanted to go on another date with, and for some reason, they didn't want to go on another date with me, all right? That kind of hurts. I know I've heard a lot of people saying, I've never been dumped, I've never been broke up with. That is not the story of my life. The story of my life is kind of like this. I felt like something's got to be wrong with me because nobody loves me. I remember at, I think, 1:30 in the morning one night, being at a church with Glenda, and we were singing, and I'm just bawling out, and I'm like, but this girl could sing, and this girl can do these things, and she's got to be the one, but you know, I don't know, she doesn't want to go out with me, and I was broken, and like, nobody's going to love me. Poor Glenda, she's more than a piano player, right? You know, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, what's going to happen? I'm like, I have the number one woman repellent in the world. I'm a pastor. Nobody wants to marry a pastor. You know, it's just like, what do you do for a living? Oh, well, you know, I'm a pharmacist. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a pastor. Check. That's pretty much how every day it goes. You know, I went out. I don't want a part of it. And I'm sitting there and I'm pouring out all the reasons why nobody's going to love me. You know, Jordan and I start talking. I get out there and all these people start blowing my phone up. I made a mistake. We need to hang out. You know, I can't stop thinking about you and all these other things. And I went from zero to hero overnight. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what? You know? And then I'm standing there like, you got it. You know what I mean? You're looking at the mirror and you're like, you're the man, you know? And then I went back to the whole, if you didn't love me before you tried the last person and it didn't work out, then you're not going to love me after that person didn't work out. I'm not a plan B option. Are you with me? You say you're arrogant. No, I'm just confident. You know, I'll say this to you, and I mean it wholeheartedly in love. You could fire me today, and I'm not going to feel like something's wrong with me. I'm just going to go find somewhere else to preach. I'm not going to let you validate what God has already validated. And I'm not going to let you steal from me what God has already shown me. You don't have to like the way I preach. You don't have to like the messages. You don't have to love Grace Community Church. Matter of fact, you don't have to join it. And it does not make my calling any less significant if you don't like what my calling is. And the same for you. If I don't like your calling, but you know you're doing what God's supposed to told you to do, then it does not matter what I have to say or what I think. Why? Because if God is for you, who can be against you? If God has called you, just get busy. Just get going. And if you run into a problem and you need help, ask Him for wisdom and He will not hold it back. He'll give it to you. He won't rebuke you. He won't say, well, you're dumb. You're an idiot. Why? You know, I mean, how many of you, when your kids come up to you the first time and say, Mom, how do you tie your shoe? Do you look at them and say, you idiot? You know, you're 4 years old. Why can't you tie your own shoe? You should be cooking steak dinners by now, you know? Nobody does that. You know what you do? You get down and you start making up some stupid story about a bunny rabbit. It goes around the tree and then it goes through the cave. And now there's the bunny ears and oh, and you laugh and hug. Am I right? All right? You know, it's crazy to me how we need people's approval before we do things. How we need popularity. I mean, go back to high school. How many crazy things did you do just to be recognized by somebody? How many things about yourself did you change just so somebody would recognize you? You know, how many times did you have to dye your hair? Or how many times did you have to change the way you dressed? Or how many times did you go do something that you were absolutely miserable in doing just so you could hang out with a certain person? Matter of fact, how many dates are you going to go on with a guy or girl that you know you're not supposed to be with just so that you're not alone? How many times are you going to sacrifice your heart and your joy for the approval, acceptance, or popularity of someone else? You know what I've learned about people in my life? Very few stick around. Most come and go. Even with my own parents, my relationship with my own brothers, there's no consistency. You know, and I used to make this statement, why is it that everybody that's supposed to love me bells on me? Anybody else ever felt that way? You know what? God has an answer to that. He says, well, I'm the only one that's ever truly, truly known how to love you. And I've never bailed. Man, I've been to every bar you've been to. I've slept in every bed you've slept in. I've stood beside you in good places and I've stood beside you in bad places. And I never once, never once cast you out, judged you, condemned you. I always loved you. There's a song out there that he's always loved me and he always will. And I thank God for that. The truth is that sometimes we have so many choices in our life that we don't know which choice to make. And so we start asking our friends. We start asking other people. We start trying to see if this is the vision for our lives. You know, what do you think? What do you think? It needs to be God. What do you know? Not what do you think, God. What do you know? Show it to me. See, you don't have to open doors of opportunity in your life. God will open them for you. And you don't have to close doors that are wrong for you in your life. God will shut them for you. He will bolt them down. All right? You say, well, then why did I make that mistake? Well, you kicked the door down. You know, you busted through. You got determined. You got stubborn. You got motivated. And you found yourself in a place that God never intended for you to be. Here's the good news. You don't have to stay there. You might be like the prodigal son eating food that belongs to pigs. And you can lay it down and go sit back down at your father's table that very day. You might be the person that's living a life full of lust and desires, chasing what makes you feel good, and all of a sudden find out that it's not fulfilling you. And in that very same day, you can find out what it means to be filled by the Spirit and to be fulfilled by God's passion and love in your life. God does not hold back. The Bible says He is not slack concerning His promises. His ear's not heavy that He cannot hear. His hand's not shortened that He cannot save. You know what it takes to change your life? A choice, a decision to say, I choose you, God, and I choose you alone, and I am going to serve you, follow you. You are my decision. You are my heartbeat. You are my everything, and God, I will follow you. And in that moment, you go from death to life. In that moment, you say, well, how long does it take to get saved? I think you're saved before you stop praying. I think you're saved the moment that you biblically do it. He says, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised from the dead. See, God knows your thoughts. He knows it. And I think the moment that you either hit the knees, or the moment that you turn, or the moment that you look up and you say, God, He's like, okay, you got it. It's yours. And I think in that same moment, it goes from, you got it, to let's go. You say, how long do I need to be in a church before I can serve God? 2 seconds. As soon as you walk in the door, you're ready. How long do I need to be in the presence of God before I can be made whole? Can I tell you this? He is the everlasting life. He is the well that springs up into eternal life. He is the fountain of youth. And the moment you get in the pool of who He is, the moment you touch the hem of His garment, the moment you cry out, it is immediate that God restores you and builds you up and purposes you. But you got to make a decision. You got to make a choice. See, God called Moses, dialed him up. I mean, He called him on a hotline in a burning bush and He said, Moses, you're going to go lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And immediately it happened. No. Immediately, Moses had to make a choice to go do it. Moses had to choose to stand in front of Pharaoh. Can I just tell you that? The same guy he was running from, by the way. The guy that he was scared was going to kill him for killing another Egyptian. The guy that he was terrified of, he had to go stand in front of him. Can I tell you this? And we'll get to this in just a little bit when we're closing down. But if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to face your fears. You're going to look at him eye to eye. You're going to stand in front of Goliath. And the biggest Goliath you'll ever stand in front of is in your own mind. And that Goliath calls you names, doesn't it? That Goliath every morning tells you you're fat. Tells you you're skinny. Tells you you're ugly. That Goliath, every time you make a mistake, reminds you of it again and again. You see, there's not much difference in the physical Goliath that stood in front of David than in the figurative Goliath that screams out in your mind. David shows up one day with cheese, right? Cheese. What a terrible job. He goes to war with cheese. It's pretty stupid. You're not gonna accomplish anything. You know what? What are you going to do? Somebody's coming at you with a sword and a chariot. You're going to start chucking cheese at them. You know what I mean? I mean, the only kind of chucking cheese that works is like Chuck E. Cheese. You know, go down there and And he goes in there and all of a sudden he hears this dude out in the field and he's blaspheming the name of God. He's tearing down a nation. He's saying things like, man, Israel's worthless, man. Y'all got nothing. Man, if your God is so great, then let him deliver you. And David's sitting there and he has enough and he looks around and he says, guys, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for somebody to get out of the trenches? You know what the Bible described the entire army? The entire army of Israel was trembling in the trenches. That's what the Bible says. It's like there's one dude in the middle of a field and an entire army is scared to death. You know, I feel like that's what's happening in America today. I feel like we see our courts approve things we disagree with and we run to the trenches. And we get scared. I feel like we see what's going on all around us in Milwaukee, Baltimore, Dallas. And we get scared. Goliath is popping up everywhere. Goliath is standing and he's calling out the names and people are mocking God openly and tearing him down. And the church is saying, well, we don't want to offend anybody. You know, it's like, is he still going? Okay, we're not going out. Is he still there? Somebody look. Is this still happening? Because we'll wait and this storm will pass. Can I tell you this? The wickedness of the world is not a phase. It's not a fad. It's a reality that's only going to get worse. And the truth is I think there needs to be some Davids. Say, guys, isn't there a reason? Isn't there a reason for you to take your Bible seriously? Isn't there a reason for you to daily seek God? Isn't there a reason for us to hit our knees? Isn't there a reason for us to pray that God gives us wisdom? But greater than that, is there not a reason? Is there not a cause for us to step out of the trench and say, Goliath, you're going down. Amen. David steps out on that field and Goliath says, you sent me a grasshopper. And not the Karate Kid kind either. You sent me the scum. He's laughing and he's mocking. And David says, you may come with your sword and shield. In other words, you may have Congress in your back pocket. You may have the Supreme Court ruling in your favor. You may have every ounce of worldly gain going for you. But man, I got God. He says, I come in the name of the Lord. And that is the very last thing Goliath ever heard. Can I tell you this? The fears that are crippling you and trapping you, the very last thing that they will hear in your life is you proclaiming God to be God. And at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, right? The Bible even says that even the demons of hell tremble at his name. It's like, dude, nobody does that with me. How many of you, this is your first time here? Would you slip your hand up? I'm not trying to embarrass you. First time here. All right, cool. How many of you knew the name Josh Moore before you came here? Did you? See, now you hurt my feelings. You didn't know it. Man, that hurts. Not at all. I'm just kidding. How many of you had heard the name of God before you walked in this place? Yeah. My name, it means nothing. His name is everything. I can try to give you the 12 steps to a happy life. My words and opinions will do nothing. But his word moves mountains. His word parts the Red Sea. His word shakes the earth. His word rules and reigns forever. His word is forever established in heaven. It's his word. Is there not a reason, church, for us to say it's all about him? And I'm going to fight for his name. And here's the cool thing. Fighting in Jesus' name doesn't mean I get to put my dukes up. It means I get to open my arms and say, I'm going to love you. Come on. It means I'm going to support you. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to shelter you. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm not going to pray for you just so you shut up and stop telling me your story. I'm going to pray for you because God's going to change it. I'm not going to pray for you because, you know, that's just the answer I have to how you're going to overcome the hurts in your life. No, I'm going to pray for you believing that in Jesus' name, if two touch anything asking in his name, it shall be done. And I'm going to pray believing that your marriage is going to be restored. And I'm going to pray believing that you're going to be healed. And I'm going to pray believing that your addictions are going to fall and that Jesus is going to exalt you. And I'm going to believe it. Because there's a cause, there's a reason, there's hope. We need you. God needs you. And I don't know. I'm just going to start calling it the AOG. It needs to step up. The army of God needs to get moving. And I told them yesterday, I said, you know what happens is we believe we got to all be together to be the army. But if you look, an army that stays in one spot all together is easily defeated. Because all you got to do is drop one missile, they're gone. If you look at our military, the most powerful military in the world, and I thank God for them, and you should too. They're all over the place, man. Our Navy is not just in one harbor. It's in a lot of harbors. And we don't have just military bases in America. We've got them in Turkey. We've got them in Germany. We got them all over the world. And there's battalions here and battalions there. See, we believe and we have this mindset that the church is supposed to get together. And the Bible says that we're supposed to raise him up and go out and scatter and go all over the world. You know why our army is so powerful? At any moment, we can dial them up from anywhere in the world and they can be anywhere in seconds, minutes, and be doing what needs to be done. Man, that should be the AOG. The army of God should be able to be called into formation in a moment and to be able to charge, tackle, and conquer any action that Satan is trying to do in any home, in any town, in any nation worldwide. But yet we're weak. We got to make some choices. So I'm going to close. Take me 15 minutes to do it. You ready? We're going to blitz. Get your pens ready. Everybody just give a stretch. If you're taking notes, you're about to get some writer's cramp. Listen to me. At some point in our life, while making decisions, we've got to come to an acknowledgement, and this has got to be it. At the right time, God will do. Guide, reveal exactly what needs to be done. Meaning this, God is not going to give you guidance for next year. He's going to give you guidance for today. God's not going to guide you through tomorrow. You're not even there. He'll guide you through today. That's why Jesus said when he's teaching his disciples how to pray, give us this day our daily bread. God, today give me what I need. So I want to show you a few verses. Psalm 23, verse 3. He renews my strength. Read these next sentences with me. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. You know what I like about that? He puts his name on the line for me. You know, I get asked all the time to give recommendation letters to schools, to job applications, and all these other things. Can I just be honest with you? I don't always send them. You say, what? Yeah. If I don't want to recommend you, I don't. If I know that you're not living right, you're not doing right, I'm not going to put my name on the line. My reputation on the line. If I know you've quit your last six jobs, I'm not recommending you for another one. If I know that you've got evicted from the last four places you live, I'm not going to recommend you to your landlord. You say, that's cruel, that's mean. No. I mean, why in the world would I put my name on the line for you to mess it up? But God says, I am so confident in who I am that I'll put my name on the line. He said, I will guide you down the right path for my name's sake. For my honor, for my glory. Man, that's some confidence, isn't it? That's confidence in you, even when you don't have confidence in you. All right, look at the next verse. Let's write these down. Psalms 37, verse 23, he says this. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights, and maybe you need to remember this, in every detail. God has not left one thing out. And God has not overlooked the bill you can't pay. And God is not overlooking the need that you have in your life. God doesn't even overlook the want in your life. Every detail of your life, God is paying attention to. Every detail. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees it all. And he is not going to leave you wanting anything. All right, keep going. Proverbs 20, verse 24. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? You know, God didn't say figure your life out. God said trust me. God didn't say figure your spouse out. God said trust me. God didn't say figure out what car you need to have. He said trust me. He didn't say, go figure out what neighborhood, what town, what city, what state. Go figure out the rest of your life. He simply said, trust me. When he made his disciples a proclamation, when he gave them a job opportunity, when he asked them first to come and be his disciples, he made one request. He said, follow me. That's it. Follow me. Can I tell you this? You've got to make a decision today to let God be the only guide of your life. So here, let me give you really quick how you can make good decisions based on Scripture. All right? Here it is. Number one, you pray for guidance. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 26. In other words, praying for guidance. When we say pray, that simply means get God's perspective on your issues. All right, look at this. He says, those who trust their own insights are what? Foolish. You say, well, don't call me dumb. Don't call me an idiot. Don't call yourself one. Don't be one. Don't lean on your own. Don't think you know it all. Isn't the statement so true? Nobody likes to know it all. Am I right? How many of you have had the know-it-all in your life? All right? I hope they're not sitting beside you. But the thing is like, sometimes your own worst enemy is you. You know, you think you know what you need to do, but you don't really. You need to pray and get God's guidance, get God's perspective. It says, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. All right, number two, you got to get the facts. All right, look at this verse. All of these are coming from Proverbs, by the way. If you're going to carry your Bibles, if I'm going to challenge you to carry your Bibles 30 days, I'm also going to challenge you to this. Read the proverb for the date every single day. All right, so today's the 21st. You're going to go to Proverbs 21. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Half of the months have 31 days. So the days of the month that only have 30, you read the last two chapters. So you're going to be reading about that good-looking woman in chapter 31 again and again and again. All right? But every day, and I do this every day of my life. I've done it for years. Matter of fact, almost close to when we started this church. And man, I'm learning so much from Proverbs. It's kind of crazy that the wisest man that ever lived wrote it. All right. God inspired it. It is good. All right. So here's a very good one that you might want to remind your teenagers of, or you might want to think about before you discipline your teenagers when they're trying to tell you their version of the story. All right. Have you ever been the parent that says, just stop talking. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You need to hear it. Because there could be something that happened that you're not seeing. You know, the worst thing in the world you could ever do is discipline your child for something they're innocent for. Are you with me? You know what that's called? Abuse. They see it in their mind as abuse and they think you hate them. We know when we do right or wrong, right? Anybody in here admit that you know the moment you mess up? All right. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit will tell you if you're a child of God, so you should. Your wife will tell you if you say the wrong things without even opening her mouth. You'll see it on her face. We have those moments. You say it and then you're like, shouldn't have said that. Right? She didn't have to say, you shouldn't have said it. Your friends will do it. But the Bible says, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. You know, a lot of people make decisions without getting all the information they can on that decision. People call me an overanalyzer. Anybody ever been called that? You're too analytic. In other words, you overthink the issues. No. I just don't want to be surprised by the issue. I don't want to get into it, get halfway through it, and realize that there was something I didn't know. I want to learn first. And a lot of times when I'm doing counseling or I'm in meetings, I listen to both sides of the story before I give what I feel like God's telling me to say. Because a wife can come in and paint her husband to be a serial killer. And her husband can come in and paint his wife to be the worst villain in the world. And then you get into the situation and realize that it's not that spouse's fault. It's an internal problem in the one that's making the accusation. Matter of fact, Jesus found that when they drug that lady to him and said she was caught in adultery. The law says to stone her, what should we do? He says, well, if you're all innocent and if you're without sin, you throw the first stone. And all of a sudden they disappear. Why? Because the accusers a lot of times are the accused. They have things in their lives that need to be made right. Matter of fact, before you judge anybody, realize you make mistakes too. Am I right? So the thing is, man, number one, I pray and ask God guidance. Number two, I get the facts. What's it going to take? You know, what's the truth? All right, number three. Let's keep going. Look at verse 6 of chapter 24 of Proverbs. This is where most people mess up. You got to ask for advice. How many of you would just rather not bother somebody with your problems? You know what I mean? I just don't want to be a burden. All right. I'm going to say this as loving and as kind as possible. Your attitude is more of a burden than your problem. The fact that you're reclusing, shutting down, you're not talking, is more hurtful than if you would just tell us what's going on. Your rejection, you're being angry at the world, you hating everything, You being negative about everything is sucking the life out of everybody around you. Are you with me? Well, I don't want to be a burden. You know what you become? A weight. You're not just a burden. You're making the ship sink. All right? Open your mouth and ask for advice. We don't know everything. And the Bible says this. Don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having what? Many advisors. We have a prayer group that meets every Sunday. I pulled them in my office this morning and I said, guys, listen, my ministry team, my pastors, they're all gone. It's just me and Steve today. We're alone. We're isolated. Normally there's somebody here. And I know what happens when you get isolated. Satan attacks. And I'm not saying I know of anything that might happen, but I'm just saying pray against it today. Because when you're alone, you are the most vulnerable. You say, what were you doing? I'm asking their advice, number one. And number two, I'm practicing the next two things that we're going to talk about. I'm counting the cost. That's the next one. Look at this. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25. This was on my agenda yesterday. Don't trap yourself by making a rash promise to God and then only later counting the cost. Matter of fact, let's put it in today's term. Don't buy a car and then figure out if you can afford it. Don't move into the house and then wonder how you're going to make the rent. Make sure you can afford it before you buy it. How many of you say, that is pretty deep and simple at the same time? All right, but how many of you, when you were younger, maybe you went out and bought the TV just because you needed to have it, or you had to have the new cell phone, and at some point in the month, you hurt and went without because the thing you had to have, you couldn't afford to have. And now, because you couldn't afford to have it and you have it, you can't afford the things you actually need. Write this down. Never forget it. Your wants will cripple your needs. If you dive in and only fulfill the wants of your life, when you have a need, you won't be able to afford it because you spent everything on the want. You say, well, you're talking money. No, I'm talking about your energy, your time. I'm talking about your emotions. I'm talking about everything. If you chase your wants with all your heart, then when you come home and your wife says, will you cuddle me? And you say, I'm just too tired. You can't afford your need because you spent everything you had on your wants. And guess what happens? Your needs start falling apart. Am I right? You got to count the cost. Here it is. Prepare for problems. Listen, if you're going to make the choice to serve God, prepare for problems. You're going to get attacked. You're going to get hurt. Satan's going to target you. And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. That's what I did when I went to those guys today. Start praying and pray me through the day. I'm here 14 hours today and pray I survive it. Pray that I don't get in a place where somebody comes in and attacks or Satan tries to steal my joy. You know, this year has been probably the most depressing year I've had since I started ministry. And I know that sounds weird because I have been a pastor of a wretched place. And I've been a pastor of a place that didn't want to seek God with anything and fought over everything. And now we're in a church that, man, it feels like people are seeking God and all this. But I don't know. I told somebody, you know, that my desire for God has become my fuel of depression. I read a story about one of the most successful pastors in America, Rick Warren by name. I'll just call him out. Said about his fifth year of ministry, he spent an entire year in depression. He now has, today he'll have 29,000 people go through his services. He said, I spent a year in depression wanting to quit. Can I tell you this? And I mean this with all my heart and sincerity. That's been this year for me. There's been so many times I wanted to bail out. There's been so many times I wanted to just give up. And some of you, as moms and dads, you felt that way. And some of you, as husbands and wives, you felt that way. And in businessmen and ladies, you felt that way. Been times you wanted to hang it up. Let's park the Bobcat, put a for sale sign on it, and let's get out of this business. Knowing good and well that that business fulfills your heart. That you love it, you're passionate about it, and you're skilled at it. You want to give up teaching because they've taken away certain rights, but you know good and well you're a great teacher. Students love you and they're learning. See, there's times in life when you just want to throw your hands up and quit. That's when, you know, I just want to say this. For the past 2 weeks of my life, I feel like God's been renewing me. And today I'm not standing in that. Today I remember, I know who's in my boat. I know who got us on board. I know who started Grace Community Church and called us to it. I know, and I am ready to go, and I'm excited. So don't take it the wrong way. But in those moments, there's times that you just want to bail. You just want to go. And I'm going to tell you this. The only way to fail with Christ is to quit. It's to give up. It's the only way. I believe you can overcome anything in your life. Anything. Including uncurable disease in Jesus' name. You say, Brother Josh, you believe in fantasy. No, I believe in Jesus. Amen. Well, Brother Josh, you're out in left field. Well, that's okay, because I feel like that's where God's standing, and so that's why I'm there. You know, I just want to be close to Him. And in that, I realize that it's not going to be easy. And you can ask my guys, there's been a lot of times I said, guys, this meeting might go like this. It might go like this. It might like, guys, you got to watch this. Watch that person. Person doesn't have good intentions. And a lot of times I've had people say, not in our leadership, thank God, but I've had people say, you should not be focused on danger. Really? Really? Ignore the road closed sign. See how well that goes for you. Ignore the sign that says bridge out. Keep driving. See how far you get. Now, I'm not really saying do that, okay? Disclaimer, if you do that, you cannot sue me because I'm giving you this disclaimer. I'm not telling you to test it. But the truth is this. If you're not looking for it, it'll walk up and it will slap you in the face. And then what? You know why I read my Bible? Because I have found most times it's not necessarily what I'm going to face today. It's something that I'm going to face well down the road. And God prepares me today for things that I don't even know exist tomorrow. And when I get to tomorrow, it's a little bit easier because I've already been prepared. You know why I believe our church is seeing the season of success that it's seeing? Is because we have taken certain precautions. You say, well, why in the world do you have a 4-week class that people have to go through in order to join your church? Because we're trying to protect the church. And if somebody comes in here and they don't believe, you know Anton LaVey, the leader of the Satanist church, said about 20 years ago, when they founded the church, that they had a 10-year, 15-year plan of making sure that at least 2 Satanists were members of every Bible-preaching church in America within the next 10 to 15 years. The Bible says, watch out for those that are in wolves' clothing. They're in sheep's clothing, but they're wolves. They come in and they act like they love you, but they have selfish intentions. They preach things that the Bible says that even sounds true. And if we're immature and we don't understand it, we'll dive in. We'll go 100 miles an hour and we'll fall off a cliff because it's not what God had to do at all. Matter of fact, write it down. Remember this. Most of what happens in the world today, God has nothing to do with. The evil that's going around, God, that wasn't God's will. That's not God's plan. That's happening because the world's evil, sin is raging. The war is raging all around us. And I don't know about you, but I'm preparing my home. We pray over our son every night. We pray over our home. We pray over our jobs. We pray over our people that are in our lives, our friends, our family. We pray over our church. We pray over you. We are all the time looking for how Satan's going to attack. And you know what happens? When we see a weakness, we shore it up. How do we shore it up? We get God in there. You know why? It's a great example. God said, Noah, build the ark and make sure you pitch it. Here's great wood that's going to flow, but make sure in between every crack you put this pitch. You put this tar. Why? You got to keep the water out. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're living your life, you're living your marriage, you're making decisions without God, there are cracks in your home and Satan will get in. Don't give place to the devil. Because the moment he gets in, he'll start destroying and he'll start wreaking havoc. People come to me all the time. They say, you know, like this with the ladies thing. One of our ladies that's putting on the painting thing last night. She said, she paid a post. She said, everybody make your payment to me. And I immediately messaged her and I said, no. I said, no. They don't need to do that. It needs every dime goes through the church. We'll cut that check. And they say, why? And I explained it to them. It's to protect you. It's so that nobody comes up and says, well, I could have done it cheaper. Why'd you ask her? Why'd you pick her business and not mine? Why'd you reach out? It's to protect you. So that nobody can come and point a finger and say you stole money because you didn't even touch it. And so that nobody can say, well, why did you and why did they? No, we're going to protect you. And you say, oh, that's so silly. No, it's not. I've seen people crucified in churches over watering plants without asking the building committee. I'll never forget that meeting. Walk in there and the building committee says, we need to do something. They came out here Thursday, they took the water hose and they watered the flower bed. And they didn't even ask the building committee. You know what I did? I said, you guys are ridiculous, and walked out. I would be like, thank God I don't have to get out there in the heat and water the plants. You know, I know we got custodians, but I would much rather you just pick up the tissue than come and tell me there's one in the floor. Are you with me? Hey, Brother Josh, the flapper in the back of the toilet's not closing. Did you open the lid and put it down? Well, no. I figured I need to tell you about it. Great. You know what I'm going to do? Open the lid and put it down. Wow, I'm a hero. You could have been that hero. Can I tell you this now? That's why we preach against premarital sex. It ruins your relationships. That's why we challenge you to honor God in the way that you live together. Because it secures your relationships. That's why we don't believe homosexuality is right. But we love homosexuals. You say, what? Yeah, we do. They're a sinner just like you. Their sin's the issue. They're not the issue. Their sin is. Hey, your lies, they're the issue, not you. No, you were created in God's image. You were created to do good works. We're going to love you and we're going to give you that chance. So guess what that means? Sometimes your pastor has to stand up here and preach a hard message and say, hey, repent and get back to God. Sometimes he has to stand up here and say, hey, listen, you can't do that. Sometimes we have to say no. And sometimes we have to say go. And sometimes we have to say, hey, look, we're not doing that. And you say, well, I just don't understand it. It's this. We see the dangers and we're not willing to let you be destroyed by what Satan's trying to do. But I will tell you this. I will stand against Satan every single day so that you don't have to take a punch. The truth is, it's easy to stand against him. All you got to do is resist him and he flees. But until you learn that, until you learn the power of Jesus' name, I'll stand on your behalf. Anybody with me saying, you know what, I will too. If you're weak, I'll stand for you. Anybody like that? I make comments like this all the time. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to read your Bible. You should. You don't have to read your Bible to see your Bible, because I'm reading mine and I'm going to live it in front of you. You don't have to believe in Jesus. I believe in him. You need to, because you got to stand before God with him. If you stand before God without him, you won't. But I'm going to believe enough that you're going to see Jesus in me. You say, you're arrogant. No, no, I am desperate for him. I can't do it without him. And so I'm going to shore up the ship. I'm going to lock down the gates. I'm going to stand there and we're going to make sure that God doesn't miss. You say, what do you mean? I'm going to make sure that you're in the place that God wants you to be so that when his blessings are poured out, your family's reaping them. We are not going to let your family go down. Somebody got mad at me one time because I texted them and asked them why they miss church. They said, we don't believe you should be texting us and asking us when we miss church. I've had somebody tell me, we don't believe in the connection cards. You shouldn't have to check into church. We're not trying to get you to check into church. We just want to make sure you're okay. And the truth is, listen, if you're someone that's been here long term and you go missing, we're going to come looking. And you say, why? Because we love you. That's why. We'll leave the 99 and we'll go find the one. Why? The world is a dangerous place. But in him there is safety and security that cannot be matched. All right, last thing. I'm done. I've said it already. I'll say it again. We got to start facing our fears. We got to stand in front of Goliath. Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 4 says it something like this. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. I'm just going to paraphrase it. I'm sure we'll get it on the screen. Farmers that wait for perfect weather never plant, and people that watch every cloud never harvest. Perfection always hinders progress, and if you're trying to be perfect, you'll never be good enough to actually do what you're wanting to do. Dive in the way you are. Are you with me? Face your fears. Stand with Jesus. And say, hey, listen, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to make the choice to do what God asked me to do in spite of my fears, in spite of what I'm scared of. I'm going to stand with him regardless of what anybody else does. I've decided I'm following him and there's no turning back. Why? Because everything before him is worthless and nasty. But everything since him has been amazing. Now listen to me. We've got to say no to the I don't know and say yes to the one that does know. But what do you want to do with your life? I don't know. Get to God and figure that out. Your life has purpose. You're meant to do something. You say, well, I'm disabled. Listen, I understand this. Listen, can I tell you this? Some of the greatest impacts I've ever had in my life were disabled people. Man, they move me. You don't have to have a job to be powerful and successful. You don't have to be popular to be powerful and successful. You just got to have Jesus and a total faith in Him. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? In our lives, mine and Jordan's and Lincoln's, there's a lot of unknown variables, just like many of you. And I've shared a few of those with you. We don't know everything that's going to happen with his health and things that we're even facing now, doctor's appointments, and we're still waiting on phone calls. We've been trying to get into one specialist for 6 months. He's got that long of a waiting list. Sometimes that terrifies us. Sometimes we get strapped. We get down to our last dollar. Anybody ever get like that? And we look at everything and we're paying our bills, we're tithing, we're doing right, we just can't figure it out. Ever had that moment? Sometimes we look at each other and we ask the question, do you love me? Because even while living close, you don't feel close. Anybody ever have that moment? And I've realized that the issues seem so big. Sometimes they seem so scary because of the shadow. And we're going to deal with shadows next week. But do you remember at a point in your life, anybody remember being little and laying in bed and seeing a shadow on the wall and it scaring you half to death? Maybe you weren't little. Maybe that was last night. You ever been somewhere and see a shadow pass you by and nobody be there and it freak you out? Shadows are scary. The fear of the unknown is the greatest fear we have in life. When we don't know how we're going to make it, we don't know how to love, we don't know how to pay those bills, we don't know where to go. It gets scary. But you know what? Let me give you a truth. Shadows are bigger than the objects. You ever learn that? You'll see it next week. I'll flex in front of a light. And on the wall, I will have massive biceps. But the reality is, I don't have big biceps at all. A lot of times our problems, we've elevated them and they're not as big as we think they are. We just see a big shadow. Not only that, there's times in our lives, there's these moments that we get scared so much of a shadow that can't even hurt us to begin with. You ever try to be slapped by your shadow? Do it. Go stand in the sun. Take your fist and just swing until your shadow hits you. It'll never knock you down. You say, you're being crazy. Exactly. So are you. That shadow is worthless. But here's the truth about a shadow. Every shadow is exposed by a light. Where there is a shadow, there's a source of light. And you can either look at the shadow and the shadow is large, or you can look at the light and the shadow disappears. We need a church that stops looking at the shadows cast by a lost and dying world. We need to look at the light, the Savior of the world. And we need to realize there is nothing to fear today. There is nothing that can conquer us today. And we need to make the choice to choose to go to God for everything. And I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you're facing, but this week, driving home on Boyd's Creek Highway, I threw both hands in the air. Yes. I know I shouldn't have because I was driving. Both hands in the air. And I said, you got it. It's yours. I'm done. I can't figure it out. I'm done. Because you got it figured out. So why? Why am I focused on the I don't knows of life instead of focusing on the one that says, I am everything. I know everything. I am everywhere, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is there anybody today that you need to just proclaim that and actually mean it and throw your hands to the air and say, God, I surrender, I give up, I choose you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you make a decision today? Anybody like that? Slip your hands up and just say. Say it out loud. Come on. I can do all things. It's time for the AOG to rise up and be powerful. To stand in Jesus' name. And let's see some miracles happen. Let's see some healing. Let's see some mountains move. Let's see the manna fall from heaven. Let's see the spirits renewed. Let's see lives come alive. Let's see the Word of God in physical form and not just words on paper. Let's come alive, church. Let's make the choice. We need a church that says, I choose Jesus. I choose Him. So I'm going to ask Glenda to come and we're just going to sing a song and you can stand, you can sit, you can surrender. We're not going to say you got to go to an altar or anything. But I don't want you to sing this song today. I don't want you to sing it. I want you and only you who are willing to pray it and willing to confess it and willing to surrender, to stand to your feet as we sing and not to anybody else, to the top of your lungs, make the best noise you can make, even if it sounds terrible to us, and scream it to heaven, I surrender all. You're it. And choose Jesus. Needs to happen next. Some of you, your marriages are struggling. You're trying to figure out who's right. You're trying to prove points. You're trying to win. You know what I mean? You're trying to win. You're trying to win the marriage. Maybe you need to turn to your spouse and just say, I surrender, I'm done. Man, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight you anymore. I want to fight with you. I want to take on the world with you. I want to take on our hopes, our dreams with you. I'm done. I surrender. Maybe in this moment you can find some restoration in your home. Hey, teenagers, maybe you need to go to mom and dad that you've been bucking the rules and you've been hiding things and you don't have to confess what they are, but maybe it's time during this chorus that you go to them and you say, Mom, Dad, I surrender. I just want to be the man of God, the woman of God that I'm called to be. And so I will trust you to be the man of God and woman of God God's called you to be, and I'll follow you. Maybe some of you just need to grab the good old wallet out of your back pocket and you'd open that dude up and say, I surrender. Everything in here belongs to Jesus, and in Jesus' name I will use every dollar, every dime that He gives me properly, wisely, through His filter. I surrender. You're not my God anymore. You know what the greatest moment of your life is? When the fear that has become your God becomes the slave to the God who the world fears. When immediately you realize this doesn't have that much power. This doesn't have that much control. But He, at the name of Jesus, He can say, let there be light, and a sun that we cannot even touch forms. He can say, let there be, and it appears. He can bring to life dead things and create new things out of nothing, Paul said. Maybe we look at our addictions and say, you're no longer in control. I surrender. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Can I tell you that? Doesn't mean you have to be perfect in this moment. It just means you got to rely on the one who is. And say, I choose you. You may think I'm talking figuratively. I'm not.
I'm literally being serious. Some of you, get to your mom and dad. Get to your husband and wife. Get to that person that you're having anxiety with right now. Get to that person that's hurt you. Get out that wallet. If you got those pills on you, we'll take them. We'll destroy them. Bring them down. Lay them right here. You say, what? Hey, listen, I don't care what it is. Even if you're just trying to quit smoking, bring it down. You say, why? Because in Jesus' name, it can be done. He sets the captives free. Oh, man, to be free. To be free. Martin Luther King, you remember that? Free, free, free at last. Man, one day we will stand in heaven. And we will realize just how free we are. And in that moment, I guarantee you, it'll be heartbreaking to realize just how free you could have been on life if you'd have just believed in God a little bit more. So can we get physical? All right? Let's get physical. Let's get real. You say, well, somebody might say something. Give them something to talk about. What are they going to say? Did you see today they laid down their drugs? Oh my goodness, what a terrible person. I mean, give it. Let them go say that. That's like they gave you an advertisement. Oh man, I can't believe they have marriage problems. They don't anymore. They just gave it to God. See, the people that are talking about you are the ones that want to be you. Do you understand? Give them a reason. It's time for the church to be the church. So I've got some anointing oil. If you're here today and you're sick, let's free you of that. If you're here today and you're broken, let's free you of that. If you got a hurt or hang up, let's free you of that. But whatever it is, do not leave this place until you are free. In His name, and His name, those chains will fall to the ground and He'll restore you. So we're going to sing again. And we're going to make it physical. We're going to make it real. It just takes one belief. You're one belief away from the greatest moment of your life.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him.
Are you? Let's do it. Sing it out. Sometimes I hate having to preach certain things because then He makes me practice them. And I'm in one of those moments that I know we've been here a long time. I know that. And I want to go, right? I want to let you go, but I can't because there is somebody here. And in these moments, we're saying, I surrender all. We're going to step out in faith. We're going to follow God. And God's saying, there's somebody here. There's somebody here. I don't know who you are. And I might be... These are one of those moments that I could be saying this and be totally stupid. Right? God, what if I say this and it's not real. It's not true. But I can't get away from it. So I just want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and please don't look around. There is somebody here that your addiction is about to take you. It's about to take you under. And I don't know what that addiction is. I wish I knew. I wish I knew if it was alcohol. I wish I knew if it was substance. I wish I knew if it was pornography. I don't know. But all I know is this. It's robbing you. It's stealing your joy. It's making you think some crazy things. You don't even believe in yourself. You don't... I don't know. Maybe you're watching us on Facebook Live and that's you. I don't know. But I cannot let you go. So I'm going to ask you, nobody is looking. I'm looking around. Nobody is looking. If that is you, and you know it is, because God's talking to you, will you please just come right here real quick?
And if you're at home, in about 30 minutes, I want you to dial this number, 865-312-2335. 865-312-2335. And we will get you with someone that will help you. 30 minutes from right now, mark it. If you're here, come on, stand right here, come on. Stay right there. You don't have to get on your knees. There's no need. You stay right up. Who else? Come on. You're sinking. You're a Peter. You're out on the water and you're sinking. He wants to pull you up. And right now, it's going to be a moment of deliverance, a moment of freedom. And we're calling you. We're calling you to freedom today. Step out. This is your moment. This is it. Y'all give me a second. Y'all okay? You cool? Man, God's good. Stay right here. Man, this is it.